Amen. Hello, everybody. Hello. Please feel free to respond and, you know, to heckle and all that stuff. I'm not even joking. I like stuff like that. So the title is How to Lead a Youth and Children's Ministry. Does anyone know the answer? I'm only joking. I'm not. This is a really hard job. And I want to start by saying, if you lead a kids and a youth ministry at the same time together, I want to say, well done. Because it's hard. And some days you feel like you're doing a great job. And then other days you feel like you're spinning plates and they're all falling everywhere. But you're here and you're doing it. And I want to say, well done. Let me tell you a bit about my story. Those lights are blinding. Let me tell you a bit about my story. And then I want to share something with you. And then we'll do a little question time at the end. Because I've got loads of questions. No, I'm joking. Okay, so did the lights go down then? Thanks, Sam. That was lovely. So I came to CLC Christian Life Church in 2018. And I came as the youth worker. And previous to that, was it prior to that? What's the word? I don't know. I was a kids and youth and family worker at a local church in Beeston in Nottingham. And when I came to CLC and took on the youth work, in about 2019, I started to get like, you know when you get little ideas and little dreams? And for me, it was a lot about the kids' work, and I could kind of imagine how we could grow it, and I could imagine what else we could do, you know, holiday clubs, outreach events. I started to just dream a little bit about these things. Didn't tell anyone, sat on it. Not literally, lol, but it's getting weird already. But I dreamt these things, had some ideas, parked it. And then in summer 2020, our kids leader stepped down. And I was doing young adult stuff at the time, just really struggled, didn't feel much joy in that at all. And I said to my senior pastor at the time, I said, look, I think God might have given me some ideas for the kids' work, and I'd love to give that a go. This is what I'm thinking, what do you think? And then it got to September and we still didn't have a kids worker, so he said, yeah, go on then, have a good go. And I've been doing it since. And it is incredibly, it's a humbling experience. I think it's one of the most privileged positions to be in, where you get to invest in both kids and young people, where you get to disciple children from a very early age, where you get to walk alongside parents. This is a privileged position, and we can't take that for granted. So firstly, I think it's amazing that God has called us to this role, to your children, to your young people for such a time as this. That's incredible, because God obviously sees something in you that will impact the next generation. But I'm going to share with you something. Someone gave me a word when I took up the kids' work, and I want to share with you some of the things that have helped me from that word. And I'm not an expert. I'm still figuring it out, and I've learned more from my mistakes than I have from my successes, as is life. But hopefully it will help you. So if you've got your Bibles, get it out. Don't be shy. Exodus 18. I'll give you a second, because there's nothing worse than people rushing you. Exodus 18. When you're there, smile at me. Oh no, because you're on wearing masks. Look at me. I'm intimidated. No, I'm joking. Exodus 18. Okay, so in this part of the story, what we see is Moses is doing everything. He's acting as a judge for the people. And Jethro, his father-in-law, sees what Moses is doing. And basically is concerned about Moses and his welfare and how much he's taking on. When you read it, it sounds like Moses is about to have burnout. Interesting. But Jethro says to Moses, listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. Sorry, this is verse 19. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. Then he goes on to say, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. I'll leave it there. So Jethro is concerned about how much Moses is doing. He's aware that Moses is stood day in, day out, morning to evening, answering to the people, trying to fix everyone's problems, trying to manage all this big responsibility. And Jethro, a loving family member, is concerned about how much Moses is dealing with and how much Moses is taking on. Now, Moses carried a lot of responsibility, and so do we. And you might have people in your life that are concerned about how much you're taking on. But I just want to share a few things from this passage. And the first thing is, the first thing that Jethro says to Moses is, stand before God for the people. And so if we're to lead kids and youth ministry well, then we need to pray. Wow, what a profound thought. But I think it's really important that I say it, because sometimes we're so preoccupied by program that we forget about prayer. And trying to do a program without praying about it first is not a good idea. And I learned the hard way. Program is important, but prayer changes people's lives. And so often we've become so consumed by creating a decent program, creating all these events, activities, filling our diaries with all these things that we just keep doing all the time because we think that's what people want. But the truth is, what we're called to do is to stand in the gap of prayer. And this was an invitation from Jethro to Moses to say, there's anointing on your life to come and to intercede to God on behalf of the people. If you're appointed as a kids and youth leader, then I believe and I can confidently say that God is calling you to intercede for your children and young people. Now, when I say intercede, it can sound a bit scary. I went to an intercessory prayer meeting and quickly discovered I was not an intercessor. Because I was struggling. But then God talked to me about that, and it turns out we're all intercessors, really. But when I say intercede, what I mean is, and Tim spoke about this earlier, is that there's this place in prayer where you're alone with Jesus and you're experiencing his presence and the wonder of God. And in that place of his presence, of deep encounter with Jesus, there is something that happens where you learn the heart of God for yourself, but also for the people that you're ministering to. And so trying to do something without prayer is like trying to lead a program without knowing if God is actually saying this is worth doing in the first place. It doesn't work. So before you do program, before you plan out your yearly event, go to that place of prayer, the presence of Jesus, where he takes you to somewhere higher than reality itself, and he allows heaven to be imparted onto earth. This is a powerful thing that we take for granted. But if you're going to lead kids and youth ministry well, you need to be found in the place of prayer. I've been guilty of going, oh God, I pray Molly has a good day today. But I feel challenged and convicted that God's asking me to pray for something else, and to instead to ask God, what is it about Molly? What's going on there, God? Help me intercede for Molly. Do you know what I'm saying? That was the invitation from Jethro to Moses. It was an invitation to come and experience the wonder of the presence of God, and in doing so, hearing his heart for the people. And so I want to encourage you this week to find that time alone with the Father. And Tim said it earlier, didn't he, about, you know, putting a day in a diary to pray. I think you could ask your senior pastor for some time a week to pray for your young people. I don't think that's unreasonable. But if it is, send them to me. I'm joking. Don't do that. Shut it down. But seriously, I think you could have a conversation with your senior pastor about that. You know, say, look, I really need to pray for my young people and my children, and I'd appreciate half an hour at the start of my day to do that. Or you get up early, you know, you miss half an hour's of sleep so you can pray for young people. Do whatever you need to do, but make it happen. And with this as well, I think God's really helpful. Do you guys? Just asking. Now, I think God's really helpful. And I found that God's really good at kind of giving me wisdom and guidance, quite specific things. So I want to encourage you not to do something for the sake of it, but to really go to God and say, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? When I took up the kids' work, it was around the time when everyone was doing videos on a Sunday morning, you know, on YouTube. And I really thought, I'm going to do that. I was like, that looks good. I'll do that. That's easy. It drained every bit of life from me. literally every bit of life. And I don't know if anyone watched it apart from me. good times. And I said to God, God, I don't think this is working. I should have probably talked to you about it first. What shall I do? And I felt him say, do a Zoom call. And I was like, oh, are you joking? And he was like, no, do a Zoom call. And so I did. And I did a half an hour kids session on a Wednesday on Zoom. And it was amazing. And we got new people come, people that are still part of the church now, started on that Zoom call. And it was like, if that happened just to get that one family, it was worth it. But it was just interesting, wasn't it, that I tried to do something because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, and God had a whole idea for me, and I just forgot to ask him. And so before you do anything, pray about it first. And don't do things because everyone else is doing it. Don't worry about that. You're doing what you've been called to do. And when you hear the answer from God, there's a confidence that starts to grow in you where you don't worry about expectations of everyone else. You don't worry about the expectations of parents, youth team members, kids team members, young people themselves, expectation from leaders. You don't worry about that because you're doing what God has called you to do. You're doing what he's asked you to do. And when you know that, you're all right. Does that make sense? Okay, I think it's going well so far then. What do you guys think? I'm joking. Okay, so the first point. Jethro asked Moses to pray. Secondly, my second point, to lead kids and youth ministry, be resourceful. Okay, verse 20, Jethro says, teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. We're called to teach our children and young people the ways and the wonders of God. Now, poor Moses didn't have energized back then. but we do. for a while, I thought I had to like create my own content. Just because like, I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You are not supposed to do that. Make life easier for yourself. Be resourceful. There's so much stuff out there. Don't try to, you know, what's the word when you... Thank you. Was that you? Yes. Well done, Abs. 10 points. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, the wheel's already working fine. Go borrow the wheel. I'm losing it. But be resourceful. Energize. I use it. It is my best friend. We go everywhere together. Limitless TV. Limitless TV has been just brilliant. We meet all our young people together, we whack it on, and it's jobs are good and it's brill. Another thing, if you're wanting to do a really good youth event or a really good kids event and you've got no idea how to do it, bring someone in to do it for you. There's no shame in that. I want to do something at Easter Saturday I know I won't be able to do it because I haven't got spare time to do it. So I'm going to bring someone in to do it for me. That is okay. Like, taking on a lot of responsibility, and you could like work your socks off, and to be quite frank, no one's going to stop you from doing that because they like it when you work hard. So it's up to you to be resourceful. So don't worry about trying to do everything on your own. Use what other people have done. And if you've created your own content, come and talk to me, because I'd like to borrow some of that. generous people are fantastic. But seriously, if you are looking for someone who has got some resources, then please do come speak to me, because I know people. When I took on the kids' work, I used Emma Bacon so much. Like, she's the kids' leader for the Midlands. I called her. I went on her Zoom calls to see what she did with the kids. I used her kids' party sessions. Sharing is caring. Be resourceful. My third point is invest in people. Okay. So this is the bit, you know, the serious bit. Jethro says to Moses, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. The job is too big for one person, and so it should be. And I think if your job is too big and it's too big for you, that's a good thing, because your ministry is obviously growing. So it's always going to be too big for one person. It's absolutely ridiculous to think that one person alone could disciple 20 kids and 30 young people at the same time. That's ridiculous. And so the idea for us is to invest in people who can take the ministry above and beyond what we can do ourselves. And I see that as my primary aim in my location, is to invest in people who could take it further than I can. You know, equipping people to do the ministry. Jethro gives a list of important things that he's looking for. He says to Moses, this is the sort of person you're looking for. You know, men of who are trustworthy, hate dishonest gain. And what Jethro lists is people of good character. Now, I'm going to say it. I am quite confident in this, but I'm aware that, I don't know, I'll just say it. You need to invest in people who have got good character and are passionate about Jesus. You're not looking for people who are charismatic, who have got all the skill in the world. You're looking for people of good character and who are passionate about Jesus. So be careful about who you invest in and who you invite on to your team, because they can drain the life out of you if you're not careful. I was saying to Harvey just earlier, our kids team went from 63 people to 3. You can imagine how I felt. Mortified? No, I didn't really. To be honest, a lot of the kids' team weren't really committed. They were there some weeks and not the other. Just, you know, it was very much on their terms. I'm not sure why they did it. I'm not sure why they were serving. I'm not sure if they wanted to be there. Clearly they didn't, because they didn't come back. And so it went from 63 to 3. And I remember making this decision where I thought, no, I could rush and grab people frantically to join my team, or I could just hold my nerve for a little bit. And I did. I held my nerve, because I was really careful about who I was inviting in to lead the ministry. And so I just waited, and I invested in the 3 people that were passionate about kids' work. One of them was a 15-year-old girl. She had all the energy in the world. It's like she just ran on Red Bull all the time. And I was like, I can work with this, you know. And it started off and it was a bit, you know, rocky. She'd not done it before. She was only 15. But I thought, you know, she's teachable. There was something really raw and authentic about her. She loved Jesus, and she was willing to learn, and that's what you're looking for, someone who's willing to learn. And so I thought, you know what, I can invest in this girl. And so I did, and she was part of our Wednesday Zoom calls, and she grew in confidence. You know, I was like, you do the memory verse. And she was like, okay. and then fast forward to today, and she's leading our Sunday sessions with our kids, and she's 16 now. And I just think that's like incredible how far she's come and the confidence that she's built. And because she's teachable, she's like, you can see her being shaped into who God's called her to be. And actually, we can't really invest in all of our children and young people all at the same time. But what you can do is invest in a few people, a small team member, and say, actually, I think God might have given you something here. Why don't you run with it? That's discipleship. When you look at Jesus in the Gospels, you see that he had 12 disciples, but he also had three of those that were very, very close. And he brought them into his inner circle of life, and he invested in those three people. You know, they were allowed in to see, you know, the highs and the lows of what life really looked like. Jesus trusted these three people and invested in them. And actually, that same structure is probably similar for us. You can't be everyone's best friend, and you can't invest in everyone, and you can't be what everyone needs you to be. And so ask God, God, who have you placed around me that I can invest in, that can take this ministry much further than I could on my own? Does that make sense? But I want to just again say, invest in the right people. And I say that with caution, because truthfully, we're called to love everyone, and that is very, very true. But I know what it's like to bring someone on your team who's got bad character, and it can really drain your resources and your time and your energy. And we don't have a lot of time. And so you want to be careful about who you're investing in and who you're entrusting with responsibility. They can come on your team, but I wouldn't put them in a leadership position. You know, get them wiping tables down. That'll build the character, you know. Get them unblocking that toilet, and then let's see what else happens. Do you know what I'm saying? Because people of good character and are passionate about Jesus can learn the skills that they need to be a kids worker and a youth worker. But it's hard to teach someone who's got bad character. So I was a bit squeamish when I said that, but I think it's true. Okay, great. Let's keep going. When you invest in those people, I want to encourage you to be honest and authentic, to be real with them, and to allow them to see the reality of what ministry is like. Share with them the values, what you expect of them, and create an open conversation where they can come to you and say, have you thought about this? You know, I want to encourage you to do that. With this, investing in people, Tim said it earlier, find people who can invest in you. This job often feels like we're just giving all the time, pouring out, giving out all the time. I want to encourage you to find someone who's invested in you, not what you do, but you. Someone who will help you become all that God wants you to be. Someone who's more interested in your character and your calling than what you can do. Do you know what I mean? It's all about becoming more like Jesus. So find someone who can invest in you. I have someone like that. She, you know, she's less bothered about where I spend my time and more bothered about, am I becoming more like Jesus? And I appreciate that. Number four, to lead kids and youth ministry. Knock on the door. Sorry. To lead good kids and youth ministry. Set boundaries. Ooh. When I read this story of Jethro and Moses, essentially, Jethro was very concerned about Moses. He was concerned about how much he was doing, how much he was giving. Someone said to me the other day, you need to take care of yourself because no one's going to do it for you. Oh, I was like, how rude, but so true. I want to encourage you to set boundaries for yourself. And what I mean by this is take control of your diary. I think, and for me, I've started making decisions not to please other people, but because they're better for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, for example, people come over to me and say, Becca, we need to do a youth program February half term. I've turned around and said, no, you do it. No, I didn't say that, but I wanted to. I said, no, because for me, that Friday night of that February half term is the only Friday night that I get off, you know, once every 8 weeks. And no one's taking that away from me. And so what they want often isn't grounded in much. It's just that they think it's a good idea. And so really challenge that. If someone's coming over to you and saying we should do this, think about why is it that you're saying that? Let's talk that through. You know, where's that coming from? Is that a general need or is that just a want from you? Let's work that out. But don't allow other people to dictate your diary, because otherwise you'll give everything to everyone and you'll have nothing left. And we're called, you know, to live a life of fullness. And so that means being a bit strict about your boundaries. And so I want to encourage you not to worry about the expectation of everyone else, but to focus on, you know, what God's asked you to do. And with this as well, obviously, if your senior pastor asks you to do something, you do it. Like, I just think that's just right. You know, you've got oversight of kids and youth. Your senior pastor's got oversight of the whole church, you know. And hopefully he's or she's interceding in prayer on behalf of the church and has got an idea too. So if your senior pastor comes over to you and says, look, I've got this idea, what do you think? Unless you feel convicted not to do it, then I would always do it. If my pastor came over to me and said, Becca, I think we should do this outreach event for the kids, I'd be like, do you know what? I trust you. Let's do it. But the expectation of parents and young people and youth team members, I'm a bit less reluctant to, you know, do everything at a drop of a hat, because I think you need to set healthy boundaries for yourself. So learn to take control of your diary. Don't let anyone else do it for you. Does that make sense? Has anyone got any questions with that one? If you do, write it down. We'll talk about it at the end. We're going to do Q&A at the end, so write some questions down. Again, I had to learn that the hard way. Okay, my fifth point, my last point, and then we've got plenty of time to discuss. To lead kids and youth ministry, you need to rely on God's power. Jethro says, the work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. We can't do everything. And it gets to a point where you've got nothing left to give. And when you get to that point, just know that you're positioned perfectly to experience the power of God in your life. Because when you come to the end of yourself, you realize that you can't do it in your own strength anymore. And you allow God to come and do it for you. I'm going to be really honest with you because I feel like this is a nice, honest room. No? So last year, I did the kids and the youth work. And at the same time, there was a change in leadership and our senior pastor went. And so it felt like it was doing everything, you know, running around, like, whoa. I would say that there was a moment where burnout was like right there around the corner. And I remember just feeling like, oh, I've come to the end of myself. I remember feeling that. I remember feeling like if someone comes over to me right now, I'm going to bite their head off. That's what it felt like for me. Quite an angry person. I'm joking. And it was in that moment where I had nothing left to give that I felt the Holy Spirit come and minister to me and give me something from heaven that enabled me to keep going. And it was something that I'd not experienced before, and it was something that I couldn't pluck up from thin air. It was like a divine strength from heaven that enabled me to keep going. And since that moment, I've decided to rely less on myself and more on God, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that changes people's lives. And so sometimes we try to do kids and youth ministry on our own. We think we can handle it on our own. You know, we're putting out fires left, right and center. no, just me. But sometimes it feels like that. You know, people have got problems. Yeah, come to me, I'll sort that for you. You know, we're doing programs, events, all these things. Like, we're just running wild doing all these things. But actually, we need to stop and realize that us alone are not going to impact or change people's lives. It is the work of the Holy Spirit through you. That's what changes people's lives. And so I want to encourage you to rely less on yourself and to rely more on the power of God. Because he's positioned and he's ready to work through you if you just allow him to do that. And actually, when you look at the story of Jethro and Moses, Jethro was saying to Moses, there's a better way. And God's still God, and he's going to use that person over there to impact that person. It's not all going to be on you. There's a better way. And it's quite a remarkable story. So they're my, how many was there? Five things that stood out from this passage. And it was a word that was given to me at the start of taking on the kids' work. And it's a word that stuck with me ever since. And it's that story of one concerned father-in-law who saw a better way for Moses. And he wasn't afraid to tell him the truth. And so I want to encourage you with those things today. That was all I've got to say. Has anyone got any questions or thoughts? This is a safe space, so don't be shy. Yes.
What are some of the good character traits to look for? Is that something that you can
find
easily, or is it something you
know? This is a great question. So we'll say that again.
Like, what are some of the good character traits to look for?
Some of the good character traits to look for. I love it. Okay. So for me, the first thing is, do they love Jesus? Now, I think God's really good at giving us an awareness of that. You know, I think you can tell by someone's church attendance often if they really love Jesus. Are they coming because they're serving on team that week, but not coming the next week? Ooh, I'm not sure I like that, really. Do you know what I mean? And it's brutal, but I think that's just what I've, you know, that's a good indicator. I think someone with humility, you know, someone unassuming who's, you know, not after the big platform, but someone who's just willing to serve in the background, they're often the hidden gems. For me, I bypassed someone because she wasn't charismatic, and I felt really convicted because that was so wrong. And I'd literally missed her. I just missed her. And I looked past her and felt really convicted by that. But she was this lovely, humble girl who'd been cleaning tables after the youth and the kids sessions. And I just felt like, oh, Becca, what are you doing? You've done it again. So I think, yeah, someone who's like passionately loves Jesus, because the things about being passionate about the next generation, when you're passionate about Jesus, that almost from the overflow of that, you become passionate about telling other people about it too. So yeah, teachable, humility, passionate about Jesus. And you'll see as well that there's some people that are naturally doing the work and they've just not been appointed to any position. Look out for those people. I saw a hand at the back. I saw that hand.
I was just going to add that people who like serving.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. People that are serving, yeah. And there's a few of them. It's often 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We all know what church is like. So yeah, but that's, I think, those people. And can I just say as well, using young people is brilliant. I would really recommend that. I think when you get to journey with both age groups, you kind of get to see maybe the things that God's put in that person. Oh, go after it. And you'll be surprised about who you find. So, yeah, don't be afraid to use young people to serve in your kids' team as well.
I'm the first children's and youth worker in my church. And so the bit that I struggle with is because I'm paid and other people are not, I feel like I'm taking advantage of people or asking too much of them because they're not paying this, they're not being paid, they're serving. And I suppose, you know, it is the voice of the enemy saying, that's your job. Yeah. You should be doing that yourself.
He probably sounds like that.
He probably does. He does in my head anyway. So, yeah, what sort of advice would you give with regards to that? Actually, you know, because we are paid, how do you then recruit and kind of, get other people to help?
I mean, has anyone else felt like that? Because I definitely have felt like that too, where you feel massively guilty. And you almost feel like you need to prove that you know you're doing the work and things. I think it's hard. I think it's good discipleship to get people involved. And I think some people are run off the ground themselves. You know, some people have really busy jobs, the doctors, nurses, whatever. But there's also some other people who have got a lot of spare time, and it's not about proving that you're the one that's doing the hours. That's not what this is about. Actually, I feel like we're called to equip people into the role of ministry, and so see it as part of your job to do that. Don't be shy about that. I think it's part of our job to invest in people who can do the work, and if you realize that's in your job description, then actually you might feel less guilty about it. Because if you want to reach your town or your city, you can't do it on your own. And when you realise that, you realise actually the right thing to do is to invest in these people and to recruit them. But it's good discipleship for people to learn the art of serving. That is what Jesus called people to do. So all you're doing is encouraging them in the ways of Jesus.
Can I just add something to
Go
that?
For it.
So my mum just does so much ministry in my home church, and it's always been a great example to me because she's never been paid staff, but she's probably done as much ministry as I have. And she, one of the things she always says is there's so much joy to be gained in serving. I think when we see it as other people helping us, then that's where the guilt comes from. But when we realize that actually this is them serving Jesus, and there is so much joy to be gained from them serving Jesus, then we're actually giving them an opportunity to use the gifts, to grow, to spend time with him, to ask him for what they need to serve as well. So yeah,
that's really good. Actually, on Sunday, someone who's a teacher and on the kids team said to me, no word of a lie, said, it was such a privilege to serve today. I was like, no one said that to me before. I was like, you can come again. But yeah, no, it's good. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that you spoke about with recruiting, we've, as a church, recently had to go through this, like review our policies and safeguarding stuff. And I really struggled with that for the same reasons, like people are giving up their time and it felt like there were so many hurdles. But actually it's something, like you say, as you go forward, you realize that's really good foundations. And so things like putting in good character, if there's things for, I guess it's like children, like if the more boundaries you give them, the safer they feel. And so things, I think that's something I've learned, which has been, it's still really tough, but I'm finding is that getting the recruitment process in place is a really good firm foundation. So going by the ELIM policies and procedures, if you wanted to chat with me about some stuff that I found, the ways that we've been setting the foundations, it's been really helpful because we've kind of, I was just asking God, where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? What's your heart in this? And then out of your vision of where you feel God's calling you to go, you go, well, what if I was a complete stranger, what do you want me to get out of this? So it's helping to bring people in, and you can kind of assess that, who the character is. And also it helps when there's things that, if there are people that might be more of a hardship, it helps you to kind of come alongside them and disciple them in that process so that they're there to safeguard you and the team. But that's a more.
That's really good. And I'd say as well, just as you were saying that, not everyone can serve in the same capacity. So start a conversation with them and ask them how much can you give, and be like, you know, give them the freedom with that and trust them with that. I've got team and some people give, you know, 2 hours a week and some people give 2 hours every other week. You know, just it's opening that conversation to them. And I would also encourage like a application form for people to fill out. If they're serious about serving on a youth team or a kids team, they'll fill out an application form. That's where you work out if people are serious or not. And with that as well, I put a note on mine that says, I'll be talking to the senior pastor about this, because it invites a bigger conversation about discipleship of the person. So if you, I can show you that if you want, but yeah.
I was just wondering if you've got any experience in how to encourage people who are really shy and not very confident, but that are really gifted. Because when you were saying about looking for people of good character, there are people on my team that I think, wow, this person is incredible, but they're too shy to do anything and they think that they can't do it. But I'm like, yes, you can.
I think there's a few people on my team like that. I think it's about finding what it is that they first feel comfortable with, and building on that. So it might be like one-to-one stuff. I've got some shy people on my team, painfully shy, gosh. And I could talk to a brick wall, so it's hard. But then put them one-to-one with a young person and they're thriving. So I think it's about finding that sweet spot in people's lives and actually kind of utilising that. So start a conversation with them and ask them. They're aware that they're shy. So we can ask them, you know, look, have you had much experience speaking to a large group of people? How can I best help you build your confidence? And there's that thing, isn't there, where to kind of help people grow in leadership. They see how you do it with them, you observe them doing it on their own, and then eventually they're thriving on their own. So yeah, just invite them into that, into your personal walk, and allow them to see you do it, and that might build some confidence. Hope that helps. Yeah. I saw some other hands. This is fun, isn't it, guys?
I was just going to ask, you were talking about sort of making sure we're using resources and things from other places, but also about making sure that we're not just sort of copying what other people are doing and making sure.
That's true.
So
yes,
if we
see how that's confusing.
No, yeah. So no, it's, I think it's right. But how do you best sort of navigate if you're going to sort of use other people's sort of things, not to just sort of slide into, I'm just going to redo that and keep it fresh in your own expression as well?
So that's a really, really good point. So for me, I think it goes back to that first point. If you've prayed about it, so for example, I felt God was saying to me, I need to talk about sex and relationships with my young people. I did not want to hear that, even though I knew that that was true. And I could, and I was tempted to create my own content, but I just ran out of time. And then I found Limitless TV sex and relationship series, and it was as if like this moment, and I was like, this is it. So I think it's part of working out first what it is that God's asking you to do, and then running with that to find the right things. But always like be open to adjusting things to how it fits your young people. When I was in Beeston, I had 15 additional needs young people. I could not have done half of the things that, you know, I couldn't have done a sex and relationship series with them. That's what they weren't there, you know what I mean? So I had to adjust things to fit them. And the same is true wherever you are. But yeah, find that thing that God's asking you to do and then go and search after the resources. That's what I'd say. I'm very animated. Is that, do we all like that? Is there anything else? Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, well, I think there might be a wealth of experience in this room, so that's a good shout. Anyone got any good resources that they've used in the past for kids and youth that you want to shout out? Pixels and Splash, that was everybody.
On the Splash, I think.
No, Unsplash.
Unsplash.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
For kids, it's actually over there. It's called Heart Shaper. And it's really good. They've just brought a new one out since the pandemic, and they do a toddler version of it as well. So they range for good primary school age and pre-primary school age. Really? It's really, really good. But and it helps with additional needs as well. They've got those sections. Really, really good.
Love that. Brill. And with kids as well, Limitless Kids did, I always get it wrong, Real Feel or Feel Real, one of those. And it was brill. It was really, really good, and all the teaching's on there. So that's on the Limitless Kids website as well. Any other ones? Or youth ones? Youthscape. Yeah, good. Bear Grylls devotional book. Yeah. Think Tank. Mm-hmm. There's lots of stuff out there that will actually help you do your job really well. And that's what we're about, innit? And we're not going to make life difficult for ourselves. My brother did something at Derby, I think Rachel can confirm or deny this, where he used YouVersion Bible app and invited young people onto the devotional. That, I think, went really well. So I want to encourage you, if you've got maybe a smaller group, you might want to do that with them, and they can, you know, chip in and chip out and things like that. There was also a Soul Survivors book. What's it called? There was a book that Mike Pilvacci did and Andy Croft, and it was really good. There, it was useless, I've said that. It was about friendship. That narrows it down. Anyway. Is there any other questions or anything anyone else wants to say? Yes. Like toddler stuff. Yeah, so we do cozy tours. I know, it's funny, isn't it? Friday and Wednesday, and that's a parent toddler group. But outside of that, because of, for us, because we went from 63 team to 3, lol, I had to be really careful about kind of the age groups, because I couldn't really handle toddlers in with, you know, 10-year-olds. So we had to mix ours up a little bit. So our toddlers actually stay in the service. We have a space for them to run around and be crazy. If they're well behaved, they sometimes come into our session. They don't understand it, they just run around. I had this conversation with a toddler on Sunday, and he tried to engage in the conversation, and he was like, and I was like, yes. Like, no idea what he just said. So for us, it's a little bit different, but has anyone else got anything they would want to contribute? Anyone do anything for toddlers? Not to threes, that sort of thing?
I don't, but our children's worker, Debs, does. And what she does is that for the whatever series they're doing in kids, which starts from age 3, the September after the kid turns 3, basically. Under that, she has resources on all of the things like that are in the creche. So she makes packs that parents can use with their child to engage with the content. And she has like this sensory play stuff. She's a great person to talk to.
Wow, yeah. She sounds amazing.
Deb's Price, yeah.
Is she thinking about coming to CLC Selyoke? Just asking for a friend. I'm joking. No, that's great. Does that help? Yeah. Johnston. Yeah. Brill. It's 4:25. Time has flown by. I definitely want us to pray together. Thanks for listening and looking engaged, at least. And genuinely, like, I think this is a real privileged position to be in, so see it that way. And I want us to work together. And so, you know each other now. So if you're struggling, come and talk to someone. If it's too much, come and talk to someone and let's work it out together. But the thing that I would say, the takeaway thing, is to get alone with God first. Nothing else really matters. And everything else will become clear when you find that safe space with Jesus. I'm confident in that. So that's the takeaway. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for everyone in this room who's chosen or been put in this position of doing the kids and the youth work. Jesus, I want to say thank you that they're people of high capacity, the people that are passionate about the next generation, and the people that are passionate about you, Jesus. And so I pray, God, that if nothing else from today sticks, that they'll remember this simple truth, that everything they ever need is found in the presence of Jesus. And I just pray, God, that that will just settle in hearts and minds right now. The simple truth that everything that they need is found in the presence of Jesus. God, we thank you that you know our children and young people better than we do. We say thank you that you see them as they are, you love them as they are, and that you want to partner with us to invest in them. And so, Jesus, we pray for vision, wisdom, direct from heaven, direct from the throne room of God, to come and land in our minds and in our hearts, that we might only do the things that you've called us to do, that the expectation of man would fall off our shoulders, and the confidence and the assurance of the voice of God would rest true in our hearts and in our minds. So I ask this, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Becca. Can we give her a round of applause?